Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you for attending this special briefing. We're hoping it won't take the full 30 minutes, but we did want to have a presentation from the city's auditors, Purvis Gray, prior to tonight's item later on the regular council agenda for adoption of the annual consolidated financial report, ACFIR. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Ashley Gossett, our Chief Financial Officer.
All right, good evening, Mayor and Council. As you're aware, we're required to have an audit for state statutes. So the purpose of this briefing tonight is for our external auditors to present their audit findings and to go over the annual financial report. So with us tonight are Barbara Boyd, our audit partner, and Megan Kemp, our senior audit manager. And I'll turn it over to Barbara and Megan to walk through the reports with you.
Thank you, Ashley. I'm Barbara Boyd, I'm a partner with Purvis Gray and Company, and with me is Megan Kemp. She's the senior audit manager on the engagement. So some of you might recall last year, when we were awarded the audit RFP, there had to be partner rotation as part of that. So whereas you've seen Ryan Tucker give this presentation many times, I'm taking over that role this year. So with that, this is the presentation that shows the culmination of the audit process, right? We began with preliminary field work back in September, a couple of weeks of final field work in December, and then the wrap-up process and reporting process through the end of today. And with your approval, this will be the end of the audit. You were issued last week, the PDF of the final presentation. You should have received a memo today regarding some changes to that. All that happened was that there was a late adjustment that deferred some of the revenue from ARPA, and that caused the ARPA fund to become a major fund. And all that means is that the numbers from the back of the report were moved to the front of the report. So it didn't actually change any balances, any ending net position or fund balances. It's just the placement of that fund from the back to the front. All right, so we'll start with a summary of the auditor's results. In the bound reports that you will receive or in the PDF, there are several pages in there that indicate there are reports. The rest of the report is management's responsibility. So all the financial statements, all the numbers, statistical section, that's all management's responsibility. Anything that has our letterhead on it is our report. So at the beginning of the book, there is the independent auditor's report. This is arguably one of the most important reports, or the most important report in the book, and because it gives our opinion on whether the financial statements are fairly presented. That report describes management's responsibilities for the financial statements and for internal control. It describes the auditor's responsibilities for conducting an audit in accordance with applicable auditing standards. Once you received an unmodified or a clean opinion, that is the highest level that we as auditors can provide. And it means that based on the audit work that we performed, we concluded that your financial statements are fairly presented. So good job on that. Towards the end of the book, there are several more reports. So there's a report on internal control or financial reporting and on compliance and other matters that's required to be reported in accordance with the rules of or with government auditing standards. As part of any audit, we look at your internal controls. It helps us assess risk and determine where to focus our resources. And during that process, if we identify any significant deficiencies or any material weaknesses that, or any control deficiencies that are significant deficiencies or material weaknesses, we would report those to you. So I am pleased to say that we identified no significant deficiencies or material weaknesses. Continuing on with the reports, there are two examination reports. One is only in the CRA financial statements. The first is an examination on compliance with Florida Statute 218-415. So the Auditor General, in order to make sure that we test compliance in the financial statements, requires us to issue these examination reports. And so the first one on local government investment policies is both in the city and the CRA audits. Those reports state that they complied in all material respects with the compliance requirements for local government investment policies. The next examination report is specific to the CRA, and it basically states that the CRA complied in all material respects with the compliance requirements of Florida Statute 163 through 87, 6 and 7. Continuing on with you did have a single audit this year, so anytime you have more than $750,000 of either federal or state grants, you're required to have a single audit. And what that means is that we just do a deep dive into compliance with those grants. We have a quantitative analysis of how we select major programs. You really received one major grant this year, which was a pass-through from the city of Jacksonville for ARPA. So we look in detail at that grant, make sure that you're in compliance with the compliance requirements, and we issue a report. We issue an opinion on compliance, as well as a review of your internal controls over compliance. So you had an unmodified or, again, a clean opinion on the major program and no findings that were relative to that major federal program. And you had no significant deficiencies or material weaknesses over that, over compliance. So again, good job on that. And then finally, there's a management letter that's issued in accordance with the rules of the Auditor General. There were no reportable issues in that report. In there, we would include anything else that just didn't rise to the level of a significant deficiency or material weaknesses that was to be reported in the other reports. So no issues to report there. So all in all, these are all the reports that are included in the bound book or in the PDF, all clean. This is about as good as you can get. No findings, all clean reports. All right, you also received a separate letter called a communications with those charged with governance. And this includes certain information that is relevant when you're reviewing the financial statements or evaluating the results of the audit. And some are the qualitative aspects of accounting practices. So this talks about your accounting policies that are included in note one to the financial statements. And there were two changes in accounting policies this year. The first was the implementation of GASB 87 on leases. This required a significant lease receivable of about $1.5 million to be added to your financial statements. There's an offsetting deferred inflow or liability for unearned revenue, but this is a new accounting standard that was required to be implemented. And then there was an increase in the capitalization threshold from $1,000 to $5,000. There are significant estimates included in your financial statements. There's some judgment involved in the amounts that go in there. So this is a list of what we consider to be the significant estimates, and we do evaluate the key assumptions that go into these estimates for reasonableness and consistency. There were no issues identified with these estimates. Some other information that's included in that letter: if there were any difficulties encountered in performing the audit, we're pleased to report that there were no such difficulties. As a matter of fact, that's not always the case, so I am very pleased to be able to say that. But we do appreciate Ashley and Roslyn and Eddie and her whole team's responsiveness to us throughout the audit. We asked for hundreds of items, and this takes them out of their day-to-day job to be able to issue a timely report, so we appreciate that. We did have a couple of adjustments that were detected as part of the audit process. Management did correct most of them, and those are listed in that separate letter. There was one adjustment that was not made, and that is related to lease liabilities for GASB 87. So GASB 87 required a lease receivable to be reported if you're a lessor, and a lease liability to be reported if you're a lessee. The lease liability portion of it was considered to be immaterial. You can see it's $157,000, but it really had a $5,000 impact on net position, so highly immaterial to your governmental activities financial statements. Other than that, no disagreements with management. Management made certain representations that we relied on. There is one other audit issue, just a heads up, I guess, for next year. GASB 96 will be applicable, which will be very similar to GASB 87, except it's for subscription-based IT arrangements. So we recommend that management begin looking at those agreements early on so that they don't delay the audit process. So that's it for our reports. Any questions on that so far? Okay. I'll jump into the financial highlights. I'll look at just the very high level financial highlights. Obviously, there's a lot of information. It's a very 190 pages or so, a lot of, thank you. So looking at the general fund, what you see here, the first box is just this is information that's pulled from your financial statements, and I pulled both current year and prior year to be able to compare the two. So in your general fund, your total revenues increased $1.1 million. You did have a slight investment loss this year of about $140,000, and that is a decrease in the fair value of investments. So it's a paper loss at the moment. But your taxes increased about almost $700,000, and that's due to your taxable values increasing. And then you had intergovernmental revenues that increased almost $700,000 as well, and that's state revenue sharing and sales tax increases. Your total expenditures are up about $780,000, and the bulk of that is from the Parks and Rec Department. This includes the $250,000 back pay to lifeguards, and then some just reorganizations in the Parks and Rec Department, and cost some increases there as well. Looking at other financing sources and uses, the transfers out are up $1.8 million. This was a budgeted transfer to the Capital Projects Fund. And then there's a sale of capital assets of about $1.4 million this year. This is the sale of lots that occurred during fiscal year 22. Some portion of it is in the general fund, and a small portion of it is in the CRA. So at the end of the year, there was a net change in fund balance of $680,000. And if you look at the second box there, your beginning fund balance was $15.1 million. You added $680,000, so you ended with $15.8 million in fund balance. $350,000 of that is restricted. This is in the building fund, or in the building department. $7.9 million is committed. So of that $7.9 million, $6.6 million is your revenue stabilization for your policy. And then there's parking and transportation and cemetery commitments. And then your assigned fund balance of $6.6 million is reserved for emergencies, and you have an $850,000 unassigned fund balance that can be used for any governmental purpose. All right, your CRA. Total revenues decreased $650,000. Again, that's driven by the investment loss of about $1.1 million this year. Your taxes actually increased about $400,000. Your expenditures are up significantly to $4.6 million, but those are planned capital project for your CRA plan. And then you have the sale of capital assets in here of $350,000. That's the other portion of the lot sales. So all in all, at the end of the year, you had $37.2 million of ending fund balance. $26 million of that is in the downtown district. $10.8 million is in the South End district. And then other governmental funds, this is your capital project funds and all your special revenue funds. Your total revenues are up $1.8 million, as are your total expenditures. That is all pretty much driven by the ARPA funds from the City of Jacksonville. Half of the grant was included in the other governmental funds. The other half was in the Water and Sewer Fund for water and sewer projects. And then your ending fund balance in the other governmental funds of almost $31 million. We have some restricted and some assigned. It's mostly for capital projects. All right, then we get to the enterprise funds. See a very big increase of $26.5 million for revenues. But unfortunately, that revenue increase is just passed through fuel costs for the most part. There were some CPI increases in the water and sewer, stormwater and sanitation, but the bulk of the increases are in electric, $24.3 million, and in natural gas, almost $900,000. And you can see the offsetting purchase power cost increase of $24.3 million there. So, much of that generally gets passed through to customers. You had at the beginning of the year about $21.5 million of fuel cost over recovery that you have given back to customers in order to try to maintain the rates stable. You actually went, as of the end of 9/30/22, you had a $1.5 million under recovery, so you went the other way a little bit. So you've tried to maintain those rates stable for customers, but at some point I understand you increased your VPCA so that, well, hopefully you'll recover some of those costs that you under recovered as of the end of 9/30. Your total expenses are up $24 million. Again, we talked about the purchase power. One thing that looks strange on here, right, is that $1.4 million decrease in the personal services. You didn't have decreases in FTE or pay deductions. That is actually just driven by the pension expense decrease. So your pension liability is measured as of 9/30/21. So the pension liability reported on 9/30/22 is measured 1 year earlier. That is permitted by the accounting standards and the policy that management has elected. So at 9/30/21, your investments were very good, right? So that drove down the net pension liability and the pension expense. That will turn around next year, as we'll see. So this is what the pensions look like. As of the blue highlighted line is the 9/30/21. If you look at the third, fourth row, column, the net pension liability, you can see your net pension liability for the general employees was $4.6 million at 9/30/21, which is what was reported on 9/30/22. This is the lowest your net pension liability has been in all the years that are reported here. If you look at the following year, 9/30/22, that liability increased to $20.6 million. So it's primarily due to how the investments are doing. And you see the same pattern for the police officers. Police officers had were a little bit better funded to begin with, and so as of 9/30/21, what was reported in fiscal year 22, there was actually a net pension asset of $2.1 million. And then for the fire, same pattern, but that doesn't affect your financial statements, only because you have a set contractual contribution that you make to the fire pension plan. That concludes my presentation. Happy to try to answer any questions or bring Ashley up here if we need her.
Not much of a question, but I do have to commend Ashley and her staff for making it easy for you guys and, you know, keeping us clear of any obstruction or, but so good job, and you know, we're in good hands. Thank you.
I was going to say pretty much the same thing. Thank you for your job, Ashley, that you've done year round, and then thank you for the audit and the kind words. Just very blessed to be in a city that is this diligent in giving and tracking the dollars. So.
If there's no other questions from council, that will conclude the special briefing, and we'll start with our regular meeting at 6 o'clock in about 10 minutes.